first question. Okay. What made you decide to go into plastic surgery, and did you always know that that was the career for you?
I have always loved head and neck surgery. So I began with the idea that I love the anatomy of the human face. This is like the most complex and beautiful anatomy. And it's just very artistic area. So I loved art and I wanted to take that into medicine, and plastic surgery is the ideal place for that.
Awesome. That's so true. And can you talk a little bit about your education journey into becoming a doctor for those who are thinking of going into medical school?
It was a long journey. I started out wanting to be an English major, and I still love writing and art, and that's like a big part of me. So it was really challenging in college because you have to take all these pre-med prerequisites, and that felt like it was drowning out the creative part of me and taking up all my time and having to excel in that was very difficult. But eventually I ended up minoring in some of the things that I really enjoyed. So I took enough econ classes actually to get kind of a little bitty mini minor in that. And I always took a lot of writing classes. But then I think my love of science is what kind of drove me towards medicine. So you have to have inside of you some kind of passion for loving anatomy or physiology or how the body works, because otherwise it's just too much of a grind, I think. And it's a long process. It's 4 years college, 4 years med school, 5 years. I did 6 years of residency training, so 5 years general surgery, and then 2 years of head and neck surgery.
So that's awesome that you also got to do your other interests.
Yeah, it's definitely, it was great because even though I was taking a lot of pre-med prerequisite classes, I also wrote for the school newspaper. I did journalism. I went to USC undergraduate. So I wrote for the Daily Trojan, and I had a little column, and I just found that a great creative outlet, and also some photography, like taking pictures for articles along the way. And that served me well in life because writing is so fundamental, and even now writing a blog post or writing an article, writing an Instagram post, it helps to write.
Exactly. So you still get to incorporate those interests into your business today.
Yes.
And have you faced any challenges as a woman in the medical field?
A lot, of course. I think we all come into it, all women who enter medicine have this fear, like once in the beginning, you think you can do everything. In the middle of it, you feel like, oh my God, am I ever going to be able to have a life, like be a mom or raise children or have those other goals of like having a home and a family and a husband. So that was always a big concern, that I was just like, how am I ever going to have a family? When will there ever be time to have to use those fertility years? So I think that's one big consideration that women always have is like, in the middle of all this education, when do you have time to take a pause to get pregnant? And before your eggs start, you know, losing fertility, you have to think about all these things. And do you even have a boyfriend or anyone in the meantime? Do you ever have time to meet anybody? That's another big question. So on that personal level, being a woman affects you, but also then in the middle of being in the big boys' world, medicine and surgery in particular are still very male-dominated fields. And, you know, all of the old boys network still exists. It's very difficult to penetrate. So unfortunately, that glass ceiling is still there, where women who are exactly credentialed or better credentialed than men are making 30% less income, even as a specialist. So it's a challenge every day to compete with and to try to make your fellow colleagues understand that it's not really a competition, that you should be judged based on being a woman, not being a woman, just based on your clinical skills. It's still challenging.
Exactly. Yeah. It's interesting. I never even thought about it. There still being that kind of dynamic within the medical field, just because you have to be so credentialed to enter it even.
Well, imagine that you graduate residency and you're a fresh, eager, young woman surgeon, and you want to come work at the big old community hospital in the neighborhood that's been run for the last 20 years by all the chairman of every department being like characteristic, like typical old boys network, right?
Yeah. So,
do they really want you to come sit at the table with them? No, they want you to like, it's school of hard knocks. So they want you to learn like 1950s and 60s style, like slowly work your way up the ranks. And of course that's appropriate that you're not at the top, right? When you start out, you have to work hard. But there's also a great deal of favoritism and people, you know, making their golf buddies come up with them versus someone who might be a little more credentialed, or like you come out of training so bright and so advanced. Like we're learning robotic surgery when we come out of training versus people who've been in practice for 20 years in the community who are just really doing conventional surgery that we've, that, you know, has been around for 50 years. So that's always the threat, I think, to people that are pre-existing, that they feel like you're going to come replace them versus you, they could incorporate you in a very wonderful collegial way of like, look, we're integrating this new thing and she's going to teach everybody.
That's so true. I hope with technology that the integration happens more often now.
Yeah.
But, and then I was wondering, how many platforms is at Beauty by Dr. K on?
A lot right now. Instagram, for sure. Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Snapchat, Pinterest, and YouTube. And am I missing it? And our own website, of course.
That's amazing. And I will obviously link everything below for our listeners.
Yeah.
And in my outro. And how often do you track social media engagement among all your platforms?
How often do I go look at my analytics and analyze what's going on each platform? Maybe every week, every 2 weeks, probably. It's the day-to-day is busy enough where I don't have time to look at the numbers every minute to minute, but sometimes I'll check and see how a certain post is doing, or if I see a lot of likes or comments, then I know something's trending, so I kind of keep my pulse on it that way.
That's great. And that also week to week, you can see maybe if you have a new product with your skincare line, or if you're doing a new type of surgery, you can see if your viewers are drawn to it.
Exactly. Like there's some weeks that we jump in follower count very fast. And that's always like, oh, what's changing? What's trending? We don't, sometimes you don't even know why you jump up.
You're just glad it happens.
To the explore page or something.
Yeah. Oh, great. And I know as an at Beauty by Dr. K Instagram follower that you give your followers an insight into your life outside of the office. And I was wondering if you could speak a little bit about this and why you do this.
I just started to realize that there's so many accounts out there that are just showing before and after pictures of, you know, lips or noses. And it's really about like the person you're going to trust to help you achieve your personal beauty goals. It's important to show your three-dimensionality, and I like it. I think a lot of people, when they meet me, they always tell me they've been following my account for 2 or 3 years and they feel like they know me, and I want people to feel me, because that's the most important thing, that you trust and respect and have confidence in the person that's going to touch your face.
Exactly. And I feel like it definitely makes your account feel very authentic to you.
Oh, thank you.
And I was wondering, what is your favorite social media platform?
You know the answer, Lauren.
Instagram.
What do you guess, Lauren? Instagram. It's got to be Instagram, but TikTok is a close second. And I still love my Snapchat. I bought stock in Snapchat, and all my children laughed at me. And I was like, as soon as you delete Snapchat from your phones, I'll sell my stocks. I haven't, because everybody still
loves Everyone Snapchat. Keeps it.
Yeah.
Exactly. And how do you believe social media plays a role in the survival of a business in the 21st century?
Wow, I really think that it is integral, and it's foolhardy to not join Instagram, just because there is no other free resource that you can literally send your message to all four corners of the world. And the reach of Instagram, the ability to engage with the consumers, and the ability to just put your own channel on TV is awesome, basically.
That's great. Yeah, I definitely feel like nowadays, if a brand doesn't have an Instagram or social media, it's like, are they even existing?
Yeah, I just think that, especially with the pandemic, since print media is fading fast, like I don't even keep magazines in our waiting room anymore. And I love a good magazine, like a good poolside magazine read, but like that is just phasing out. And it's a little sad, but it's definitely, I feel that advertising is going to become all visual.
Yeah, exactly. I agree. Especially now we can't go anywhere. So all we're doing is checking our phone or our iPads or computers.
Yeah.
And
maybe that means there'll be a resurgence of like print media with like an ultra high end feel to it. Like it's so
exactly.
special.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see if that happens. And what is your daily routine like?
Well, I always stay up really late at night, so I scramble to get ready fast in the morning. I am someone who does a whole face ritual in the morning. I love a good lymphatic massage. I have put on skincare, like 5-step regimen with antioxidants, hydration, sunscreen, of course, and then just a little splash of makeup, keeping it natural. But lymphatic massage really wakes up the face, so that's so important. And I'll do some morning stretching while I'm doing all of that, the kind of multitask that in, listening to NPR all the time. And then I have some black tea or black coffee. I'm doing intermittent fasting. I'll usually put a spoon of inulin in whatever I'm drinking. And that gets my day going. I have lemon water actually right before my black coffee. So water with lemon, turmeric, and pepper. I kind of do the same thing like 9 out of 10 days. Because I think that routine just simplifies all the decision-making for my brain and makes me have good choices and whenever I can. And then I just splurge when it's something special. So black coffee and then saying hi to my puppy and my children. And, you know, work is pretty intensive. So all day work with usually some meetings, you know, influencers or podcasting in the middle of seeing patients and working on our skincare line. Haven't had that much time to exercise and be healthy since work resumed after the pandemic, but I often will try and in the evening or afternoon get on the treadmill and read some emails, and that's like a full day.
Awesome. Yeah, I feel like you're always go, go, go and very busy, so it's probably nice to have that little time to take a break.
Yeah.
And what is it like juggling all your hats and all your different roles?
It's great. I think that like any juggler, when you juggle a lot of roles, that you'll sometimes have all the balls in the air going beautifully and sometimes everything is on the floor, like you missed some critical balls and the whole thing collapsed. So it's hard because I think you can't have it all. You cannot. It's hard to do everything all the time. So when I'm like killing it at work, I'm feeling like, oh my God, I haven't seen my children in a week. And then you feel like your mom hat is not as perfect. And you know, then I always prioritize the kids. So then sometimes the husband will feel neglected or the puppy, you know, there's always something. So, but the critical thing is just to kind of juggle and pay attention to the things that you find most important and give. I like to turn off work when I get home, and it's been easier to do since I got a puppy because I used to be, I'd just be on my phone the whole night also. So that I'm enjoying that aspect of just like turning it off, just enjoying the last few hours of the night playing around with the puppy.
That's awesome. And your new puppy is so cute for those listening. What puppy is it again?
He's a teacup Maltese. He's like 12 weeks old. He's like a little teeny two-pound ball.
Oh, so cute, so cute. And next question is, do you believe that there is a universal standard of beauty?
I do. I think that beauty is very individualized and it's very cross-cultural. I think that standards of beauty haven't changed for humanity across centuries and decades. So if we look backwards at the Egyptian times and the times of the, you know, ancient Ayurvedic times and all around the world and all different cultures, the images of what we consider beauty are quite consistent in terms of faces, but also even in terms of beauty of landscapes and beauty of like the environment. Like humans are drawn somewhat to the same features, and a lot of that comes from symmetry of the face, balancing of proportions, and there's a lot of controversy about if there can be a perfect human ideal face. And I think that in my own personal view, asymmetry and quirkiness are beautiful. But I do see that there's some set predetermined proportions that always ring true to be beautiful, whether it's Egyptian times or the Renaissance or, you know, the 1950s beauty or even right now. And you'll find that echoed in social icons. So the people that we respect through those times, whether it's Cleopatra or, you know, the Queen of France or Marilyn Monroe, their faces all have similar proportionalities. So it's very curious, actually.
Yeah, it's really interesting to think about.
Interesting. And even in infants, when their eyes will stay fixed longer on a face that's classically beautiful versus a face that's not. So it's something we haven't quite figured out that's genetically in our DNA and our psyche and our brain that's drawn to beauty. And I always tell when I give lectures, I lecture about aesthetic theory and beauty, that a lot of times people think that beauty is kind of superficial and vain to the pursuit of beauty. And I like to say that the pursuit of beauty is so important. It's essential to what makes us human. It's like the reason that we want art and music and, the pursuit of beauty is not vanity. It's finding this ideal that resonates within us.
Exactly. I really think that what you do is an art in itself.
Thank you.
I try
every day to make every face very artistic.
And I was wondering, do you ever say no to clients if they want to do some sort of procedure that you don't think is best? And what's that like, saying no?
I definitely do. And it's always challenging because people have waited a long time to come see me and they have their hopes set on something that they think will change them. But depending on the psyche of the person and, you know, if they have any dysmorphic kind of pattern of thinking, I don't want to offer procedures, surgery, injectables, or anything to someone that has body dysmorphia, that has unrealistic expectations, that has maybe anatomic risk because they've overdone something. So there are a lot of people. Definitely there are cases where we say no.
I think that's great because I feel like so many surgeons or individuals would just say yes and just say yes to that income and those dollar signs. So it's great that you're putting your morals and you truly care about your patients.
I do. And then sometimes I'll even see patients who I know they need something that's really going to bring out their best features. And they, even if they can't afford it or that's just right outside of their budget, it's like one of the fun things to do to just kind of like comp it and just give it to them just because they need it, you know?
Make them feel beautiful.
Yes.
Great. And do you feel that social media makes individuals feel A, empowered to embrace their own beauty, their inner beauty, or B, to feel insecure?
<That's good. laughs> It's a little bit of both. I think it's predominantly makes you feel insecure, actually. If I had to choose only one answer, unfortunately, I think it's the marketing aspect of it that makes you feel insecure because everything is portrayed with rose-colored glasses as its best version of itself. And it's like, you know, something that you need. It's got to be put into your head like a scarcity mindset. You need it. If you don't get it, you're not going to have the life you want, the boyfriend you want, the car you want. You know, if you do have beauty, then you will get all these things. So I feel that that's the marketing advertising setup that we're placed in when we're scrolling through social media. But when we find certain images that make us aspire to beauty, like aspirational beauty is what I try to strive for more on my Instagram. And that's not necessarily, so I try to show faces of all different ages, all different ethnicities. I try to show more of the procedure of having something done and how it makes you feel. It doesn't matter what face you start with, but just the act of self-care, taking care of yourself and doing some little home improvements, self-improvements is going to make you feel good and confident. It's not that little millimeter of extra lip projection that gives you like the technical confidence. It's that feeling of like, I did something great for myself and I look so much more me, you know, I'm bringing out me.
Awesome. Yeah. I definitely feel like it's all about bringing out your best self. Mm-hmm. I think your platform speaks a lot about that. And I feel like sometimes on social media, things can feel so unattainable. So that way, when you showcase the procedural side, it makes it feel more attainable and more practical.
True. And I get criticized a lot for not showing but more before and after pictures. But I just think that people who are just looking for the before and the after and that sort of transactional beauty, like...
Yeah, it's not the story.
Yeah, like you're only coming to me because you want to buy this exact result. Well, that's not exactly how injectables, surgery, or anything else works in medicine. Like you can't assume your result because you saw it on that person in that picture. And so I just want to discourage that mindset. Of course, I show before and afters, but I put them on the website. So if you're really thinking, you have to do the research and you have to go look at all different face types who've had that particular thing and see the variation of results that you can get. So I want the more intelligent consumer who spends time thinking and understanding who I am and that I'll do my best to give you what I can within the margins of human error, my hands, artistic capability, your face, your anatomy. There's a lot interplay.
Exactly. I feel like some individuals who just look at before and afters, they might feel pressure to have that desired outcome. They might put that pressure on themselves and be disappointed.
Yes, there have even been lawsuits where people had like a rhinoplasty result photoshopped in a computer app and simulated what they were going to get. And then, of course, they don't get that exact result. They feel like they were, you know, deluded or you know, it was kind of a fraudulent thing that they were promised one thing and given another.
Yeah, I feel like every body reacts differently to anything. So,
yeah.
Take that into consideration. And do you ever get nervous before doing work on anyone or even those major celebrities that you do work on?
I remember feeling that in the beginning. The first few times, you definitely have a little burst of adrenaline. But as a surgeon, luckily, I've had all those scenarios where I have a burst of adrenaline that's far more severe when someone's like about to lose their airway and stop breathing and I have to do like an emergency trach or an airway. Like that far supersedes a little bit of a, you know, heartbeat that you feel when you're around a celeb. So now I feel quite comfortable with it. And I really think that the celebrities that we see, they like the fact that you can walk in the room and just start talking to them like they're a person. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. That's awesome. That you don't get nervous, especially for those listening who are thinking about coming in.
Yeah. I definitely get excited, like, oh my gosh, yes. I get to meet so-and-so, but yeah, well, when
the time comes, you're ready to...
When you're looking at someone's face and you're that close up, like, you're really focused on the anatomy and the precision and your mind, you got to be in your headspace.
Exactly. So true. And is there a moment within your career that stands out to you the most when you think about it?
I don't know. I mean, I think when I, for a few years in the beginning, I worked with other doctors under them or with them as partners in their practices. And so it was a big transition when I started my own practice. And I remember feeling all this like, oh my God, how am I going to support the rent of this huge place and like 10 different employees? And so I think that was my first big boss girl move of coming out with starting my own practice. And then secondly, probably really developing our skincare line, Katie Skin, which is doing really well every year. The growth of it has been amazing. So like 400% growth last year, and it's doing really well. So starting the skincare line, and then probably Instagram popularity has really been a turning point. So I started Instagram early, and then just you just feel this wave of momentum and growth and climbing happening. So I think that's been a big transition point.
Exactly. And I feel like even in my communications classes, we always talk about the importance of getting into those platforms early so that you can build that following in your authentic brand identity, which I think is really important, because if you just start coming on, if you just join a platform super randomly and without much time, you don't really have that time to build your story in your posts and what makes your followers feel like they are attracted to your account.
Exactly.
Yeah. And since you have your own practice, I was wondering, what do you believe are important qualities for both a team member and a team leader to have?
That's great. I think the most important thing is your attitude and enthusiasm and work ethic. Those three things. Like, anything else can happen. You don't have to have all the knowledge. You don't have to be a perfect person. But if you come with the right attitude and you're enthusiastic and you're happy, smiling, and you want to like contribute to being a great team member, that's perfect.
Awesome. And professionally, what are your hopes for the next 10 years?
Oh my God, we think in 3-year blocks now. 10 years is like, woo.
You don't even know where the media or technology is going to be in 10 years.
This little time, it's like, oh my God, so much can happen in 10 years. Can you imagine? Well, For myself, I really would like to kind of change my practice into more of a model where I have several different injectors working with me, with each person having their area of expertise or their fun thing that they really love to do the best, and being able to put more attention into doing artistic things that I enjoy, like writing and my podcast, as well as perhaps developing more on the skincare side. So I want to work towards some of that. I also can't wait for travel to resume. I put on conferences for Modern Aesthetic Artistry and Theory, which is my online injector course. And twice a year, we do really great conferences. We've been doing them here in Pasadena at the Langham Hotel, where people from all around the world come in. And we've done it as a one-day course. So in the future, I'd like to change that into a weekend or week-long retreat, and doing it at really fun destinations. So that's something I'm envisioning too. And other than that, just lots more travel, free time. Time becomes the most precious commodity, and you realize how quickly time flies. So I want to just take time to enjoy life before crazy other stuff like the pandemic keeps happening.
Exactly, and all those things that we can't control or predict.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. And my last question is, what advice do you have for individuals who are graduating this upcoming May?
Like yourself, are you graduating this year?
Yes. I'm very curious what advice you can have for me.
Yeah, I think it's the same advice I give to my own kids who are graduating this May. I have twins at Georgetown who are seniors this year, and it's what I've done for myself, which is visualize the future that you want to have. Like when you're in your 20s, you're so young, and there's so much to do in your life and so many phases you're about to go through. You should experiment. You should try different jobs in different fields and different industries till you feel like you're sitting at the right table with the right people. And I did that in my residency. In med school, you have to decide exactly what kind of residency do you want. Surgical, medical, you want to be a pediatrician, a brain surgeon? You really don't know. You love all these different things you rotate through. As you do your rotations, you literally sit at the table with these people and have lunch with them. So when I sat at the table with the orthopedic surgeons, I was like, this is not me. I'm not one of these big jock guys who breaks bones every day. And then I sat with the pediatricians and I was like, these are the kindest, most loving, gentle people. And I'm going to be really bored if I have to talk to parents all day about their children. And then, so then you kind of decide based on like the vibe of the people that you hang out with, if these are your people. And you'll only know that by going into law, marketing, doing little internships, doing little mini jobs along the way. So I've always encouraged the people around me who are in that decision-making phase of their life to visualize success. Pick a person who you really think is killing it in a field that you're kind of interested in. And if you want that life, then start to build it based on doing the things that they've done. And manifest it. Like, tell yourself it's going to happen and picture it in your head and draw out that imaginary life in your brain, because that's how you make things happen, literally. And my kids always laugh at me, but I told them this year I'm meeting Charli D'Amelio. She's coming to my office. And guess what? We manifested that. It happened. And I told them I'm meeting Paris Hilton this year too. It hasn't happened yet, but I'm going to. And like, you just have to build this fun and the vision of success into your life. So be creative. Don't ever say no to an opportunity. Like if someone says, oh, hey, I know someone who's in this or that field, you know, do you want an introduction? Just be like, yes, because it's too easy to say no. And if you just get your foot in the door, that's all you need.
Exactly. That's so true. And I love what you said about manifesting. And I believe that you are a mentor and an inspiration for so many people. So that's amazing.
Yes, definitely. I'd love to. Anyone out there, I mentor a lot of pre-meds, and I think a lot of people who are kind of deciding on their path in life, a lot of people send me DMs about that, actually. So it's always fun to give people that boost, because I know I could have used it at that age, too.
That's so true. That's awesome. Okay. And then I'll do my little outro there. But
Thanks. Didn't realize you were in town. You should have come to the office today.
Yes, I know.
I'm like, where are we on Zoom? Because you could just come over.
Yeah, I actually, they just told me that all my classes next week were online, so I switched my flight, and I was like, I'll just come home, but I didn't think about that. But it's due Thursday, so I'll edit it and send it to you. But I'll probably come in the office next week.
Come in anyway. We can do a little boomerang for before we post it.
If we're able to
edit it and post it, then that would be cute too.
Yeah, that would be so fun. Thank you so much.
Yeah. It was really fun chatting with you. Do you know what you're going to do when you graduate?
I'm applying to go to grad school.
Oh, for what?
I definitely want to come home. So I think I need to do like a little job besides grad school to keep me interested. I'm applying to MBA programs, and also I'm applying to some programs that are master's in public relations and advertising.
Oh my goodness.
Just in case I'm not sure which track, and depending on my GMAT, we could decide.
You can always come work with us.
Thank you.
I always hear about the marketing team at your house.
Yes, I would love that. It'd be amazing.
Yeah. I think it's such a hard time because, like, graduation is going to come upon you so fast. Like, I'm starting to ask my daughter, like, are you out there interviewing? Have you gone to the career center? Like, what's going on over there?
And especially, like, since I go to SMU, I feel like a lot of the connections that, like, I love at the school I go to, but a lot of them are Dallas-based, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I definitely know I don't want to stay in Texas. I definitely want to come to California, so. I've been kind of realizing that as I've been going through this whole like process with the school.
That's good. I mean, I think Dallas is beautiful, but it's nice to pick an area where you're going to live when you're starting out.
Yes, and where you can have those connections that you make in college grow. So I think that's why I definitely, wherever I go to grad school, I want it to be California, Southern California.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm excited.
We're meeting so many cool people every day at work. It's like, and we don't realize the person sitting in our chair is president of this or director of that. Or like yesterday we met this cute girl who runs a clothing company and she was like, yeah, I sold $100,000 of sweatshirts over pandemic. And we're like, what?
Wow. Well, do you know what brand it was? I'm curious.
Palo, P-A-L-O. I forgot something. Palo Artist or something.
Oh, awesome. Okay. Oh, that's so cool.
Super cute. Yeah.
And, that's great. And then you guys can also talk about like what you're both passionate about and it's kind of like becomes this fun.
Palo Art Studios. Check it out. Really cute sweatshirt. It had a piece on Earth circle with people holding hands.
Oh, I've seen that. I've seen that on Instagram.
Yeah. Like, just kind of got trendy.
Yeah. I feel like nowadays loungewear is like everyone wants that because no one's leaving anywhere.
Yeah, do you guys predict the season's going to be busy for Black Friday and Christmas and stuff like that, or not so busy?
I think it's going to be busy, but I think it's all going to be online. Mm. So in a lot of my classes, they've been talking about how a lot of places are putting out Black Friday, like, middle of October to, like, get in people's minds.
Yeah, I don't know.
Whoever effectively markets the best is going to get that business because everyone's just going to, they're going to be so overwhelmed with all of these ads that they're getting.
True. Like Target and Home Depot and these places are like, it's Black Friday now.
Exactly.
But I don't know. It doesn't feel that authentic to me.
Yeah.
I'm not rushing to be like, oh my God, it's Black Friday at Target now. Like, maybe that's not a good strategy because we were going to launch, I came up with like Pink Friday instead of Black Friday.
Oh, cute.
And then do it for the rest of the month. We were supposed to launch it yesterday, but being Friday. Friday the 13th, so nothing worked. So anyway.
And I feel like all those big department stores are like announcing it so early that I feel like if you announce it a little later, it seems more authentic.
Right? Like maybe next Friday? Because the Friday after is the true Black Friday.
Because then they still have like a week to plan.
Yeah. We were thinking like for injectables, like, you want to do your injectable before the holidays if you wait too late.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Gotta settle.
And how's your classes? Busy and difficult?
They're busy. I've been very busy this semester because I was supposed to go abroad last summer and then COVID happened. So all those courses, I'm trying to figure it out into this year.
Yeah.
So it's been super busy, but it'll be okay. I just keep telling myself that I get to breathe by like December 4th. I'll be done.
Oh my gosh. Everybody's desperate for vacation.
Exactly. Especially because all our breaks got canceled. Like our fall, we usually have like a little fall break in October, and that got canceled because of COVID. They didn't want people traveling and coming back to school.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm glad you came home. Your mom must be thrilled.
Yeah. I think she's actually at Home Depot right now where she resides.
What does she buy all the time?
She buys the most random stuff. She's like, oh, isn't this cute? I'm like, no. Or she'll just randomly decide she wants to paint a wall a different color. I'm like, okay.
But that's good.
That's her happy place.
She tells me that all the time. She's the greatest. I can't believe how lucky I am to have her.
Oh, yes. I love her, too. She's the best. I'm so happy to be home. But, yeah, I definitely want to come by soon.
Yeah, for sure. Let's pick a time, and we can do, like, a little intro to the podcast.
Exactly.
Any other questions that you want to ask me?
I have. Okay, so I wrote a lot out, and then I highlighted my favorite ones. But let me think of another question. Let me see another question I have here. Okay, ready? What advice do you have for women who want to start their own business and run it successfully?
That's a big question. I would say to not be scared. And for number one, start your Instagram account and don't wait for it to be perfect. Just start it. Because I have so many friends, patients, and clients who, when we're chatting about this, they have this great business and an idea, and but I haven't started my Instagram yet. I'm working on it. I'm thinking, I'm arranging it, whatever. Like, girl, just start it. Because who cares? Like, people consume digital content in a fraction of a thumb flip, you know, in seconds. So you don't have to have beautiful, perfect imagery for everything. And, you know, people forgive, like, your last wall of photos is going to go away and no one's scrolling back there. So start it right away. I would say get a $100,000 loan with a line of credit from your local bank. If you're able to do that, it gives you that cushion of feeling like you're never going to be desperate. Even if you have a bad month or two, you can still make your payroll. So when I first started out, you know, like 10, 15 years back, that was one of my first concerns. Like, what if I can't make rent, or what if I can't make payroll, or what if it's a really bad month and not enough people come in? So having that was like always a really nice cushion of like, you don't have to worry, there's this emergency reserve. And then having a few, two or three good credit cards that you get points on, very important, like business-wise. So you get those credit cards where you get dollars back for every dollar you spend, so you pay yourself when you pay your bills. That's a good idea. And I think I read and consume a lot of marketing content, actually. I never went to business school like you, and I never did marketing in school or communications, but I think as a consumer, so when I see an email that like I want to read and open that's a spam, I'm like, wait, what made me read that? What made me want to open that? What was in the title of the email that triggered me? Or when I see a really great ad, I tear it out of a magazine because I'm like, that is great. I like the aesthetic. I'm going to think about that for my brand. And same thing when I am marketing for patients and clients, even for our own business right now, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. Like if companies like Target and, you know, Sephora are doing this great marketing and they have huge departments thinking up these ideas, you can kind of see what's out there, what appeals to you, and what follow those trends.
Exactly. So, I think it's so important to also be aware of what other people, not only in your industry, but in other industries are doing.
Yeah.
Drawing inspiration or insight from that.
Yeah. Like, do you spend time researching on Instagram? Like,
yes. Yeah, exactly. And seeing what trends are kind of happening within your industry is important.
Do your own market research.
Exactly. Oh, great. Yeah.
What advice would you have for me as a brand in terms of things I should be considering doing for marketing going forward?
I think it'd be great to remember to stay authentic to yourself.
Okay, wait, I hate it when people use the word authentic because now it's become overused. So you're not allowed to
say yourself. Maybe know what your followers like. Oh, wait, that was another good question I had. But know what your followers are attracted to, and also market in a way that you know, like have a marketing plan where what you're marketing now, like you can make it lead into other future marketing plans.
So
you're not always like, it's always continuing.
So throw some teasers to future content.
Yeah, exactly. Or like whatever you're marketing now, make sure that what in your future marketing plan, you can reference that.
Is there a best marketing book that you've read in your educational process that you think everyone should read as a business owner?
I feel like my best, I took a marketing class my sophomore year that was really helpful. I think if I could find the notes from that, he was a great professor. And he never really used the it sounds bad saying this, that I go to school, but he never really stayed strictly to the textbook. And he always just had his own advice. But I loved his class. So I need to find those notes. And I think those notes would be great to listen to read.
Are there some brands right now that you think are just very in tuned with what's going on and killing it with their marketing campaigns?
I think Mad Happy, it's a brand I follow. I think they've done really good marketing. And they've kind of stayed true to themselves and their photos and their whole plan and how they partner with like local, not local, but like iconic restaurants and like do this whole, I'll show you their brand when I see you, but their Instagram and their followings, I think it's been very great. Like they stand out to me. And then I like your account also. And then Mad Happy stands out to me. And I don't know. But I did think of an influencer who I think I like. They're called, Brittany Xavier. I really like her account and her marketing. Okay. She does a great job. And I think that she takes different shots than traditional influencers take. Like, even her TikTok, it's like it gets very complex. And like, I think her husband is a he does something in the digital space. So I think it's cool how they combine that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd love to meet her. She's in Pasadena. Somehow we got to get her to come.
Yeah, we have to do it. She even like partnered with some place for like teeth whitening. And I'm like, I'm sure she would do Instagram for other things.
Her daughter is cute too. Maybe yeah. She can come in since she's a TikToker.
Exactly. And she can do like a teen facial.
That would be fun. Any other influencers that you think their accounts really inspire you or you follow them every day because they're just like cool and they inspire you?
I love this. Her name's Jenna Renner. I like her Instagram. She's in New York though.
Oh, okay.
And then this other girl named Lauren Elizabeth. She's actually from Los Angeles and I really like her account. I think she also has a podcast, and she's very authentic to herself, and I like her account because she kind of talks about mental health and, like, her journey with that. I feel like a lot of influencers don't show that side, you know?
Yeah, that's true. It's interesting because when I think about, like, which accounts feed my creative side or, like, they fulfill me when I look at them and I want to always check them every day, I try to think of what it is about those accounts
that
feed me. Like, I like the Skinny Confidential.
Yes. She's great. I love that one.
But she's sort of fun. And then the ones that where I feel like, okay, this person's really real, I love. There's a couple other ones. There's Wellness by Kelly. You should check out her feed. She's a really great wellness expert in Las Vegas. I like her a lot. And Shalene Johnson, of course, is great, a fitness expert, but marketing guru. If you don't follow her, you should follow her.
Yeah, I don't follow her. I'll write that down.
Yeah, she's so great at marketing. But I also just like artistic accounts, so just kind of things that are cute and they don't take away from your self-esteem. They don't make you feel bad.
I follow. Her name's Reagan Art, and she like has really cool art. I actually got one for my birthday last year. I like her account, too.
Oh, okay.
She's always like showing her painting and like the behind the scenes, and like you can tell she's genuinely excited about whatever she releases.
That's so cool. You should DM me those so I can check
them out. Yeah, I'll DM you all those. And then, I had another question that I wrote down that I think would be good to ask you. And that, what do you believe is your target market?
Well, I think it's my main demographic on Instagram tends to be like 25 to 55 year old age group women, 90%, maybe 80% women. And that's probably what it is in real life at the office too. But I think that actually Instagram, people always say like Instagram is young people and TikTok's really young people and Facebook is older people. And I don't even think that's true at all. I have people who found me on TikTok who are very middle-aged, and I think Instagram has people that are like 90 years old. Like I know 80 and 90 year olds and 70 year olds who have found me on Instagram too.
Exactly. And I definitely noticed with your feed, it's all ages and all demographics, which I think is great for followers to see that.
Yeah.
Not feel intimidated by that.
That's one of the benefits of being a doctor is you get to see people of all ages, how they age, how they live their lives, and you kind of get to see role models of aging. Because I see the people that let themselves go, they become hypertensive, diabetic, overweight, not exercising, and then I'll see the people that are 85, vibrant, walking 5 miles a day, and like just doing it right, you know? So it's good to have those goals. It's interesting. Not everybody in the population gets to see that spectrum. So I like to show it when I see it.
Amazing. Yeah, I definitely think that. And that way people who follow you can identify maybe themselves with someone who they're seeing on the screen.
Exactly.
Still represented.
Well, it's been fun.
Yes, I'm going to edit this and I'll send it to you. And I'll DM you today, those Instagram accounts that I like.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. See you later.
Bye, hun.
Bye. Thank you.
Take care.